We have Paul Hackey joining us in studio this morning, District 91, Zone 2.
Correct.
Zone 2 in District 91, trustee. And Paul, it's always good to talk with you.
Appreciate being here, Neil.
I don't know if you knew this or not, but there's an election less than a week away.
Yeah, I've lost 10 pounds, literally, not sleeping well. So I'm well aware that I got another week left.
Yeah. How is the campaign going? Because you are being challenged this year.
I am being challenged this year, and the campaign's going well. I've had great support. I have an army of moms and dads who are concerned about their child's future and their child's education, and they've been supporting me. They've been out knocking doors, placing signs. It's been very comforting to see the support that I have behind me, but yet I also look at what I'm up against, and it's very concerning.
Yeah. One of the reasons we don't have time on this show to interview every school board candidate we have out there. This one's super important because you really are a swing vote in District 91, which is one of the largest districts. And this seat is very important, and it could determine which way the board tips on a whole bunch of issues in the future. Would you agree with that characterization?
Yeah, I would agree with that. District 91's been in the news a lot in the last year. It's been a little bit quiet this year.
Yeah.
But a year ago, we were top center in the news, and a lot of our votes were 3-2 votes on the board. And so, yeah, it's right there. And so, depending on where you want your child's education moving forward, this is a very key vote for District 91.
It has been pretty serene for District 91, especially compared to last year. To what degree is there's a new superintendent, and we know the superintendent often helps to guide the direction the board goes and gives them guidance on a lot of issues. Is that a big part of it?
That's Dr. Schenck is a huge part of that. As we mentioned, we were in the news a lot last year, and we were front and center, and this year it's been quiet. District 93 has kind of taken that over with some of the decisions that they've made. But Dr. Schenck, from his previous school district, they did not have mandates, and they never shut their school down. Last year, we closed our schools or did a hybrid model where we were only open 2 days for the students. We had the mandates, and so with that comes controversy, and that's why we were front and center. Today, our schools are open, and there's no mandates at our schools, and I credit Dr. Schenck with that. And students are learning, which is what we want. I also need to say, though, that we shouldn't take that for granted, because there is a very loud voice out there who is wanting mandates in our schools, and even questions whether we should be having events and having the crowds at our events. Yeah. So the battle's not over. It's just not as forefront as it was a year ago.
Yeah.
I listen to this and I just get baffled, Paul. I just get baffled by this. I raised 3 kids, and there are hardships of going through junior high and high school, but there's fun events and memories that you make for a lifetime.
Absolutely.
And apparently, because we haven't had any deaths and not huge spike in cases in the district, it can be done safely without a mandate and without a mask.
I'll tell you what, Skyline had a play-in volleyball game, state play-in game on Saturday over at Corner Canyon in Twin Falls. There were 30 students who drove from Idaho Falls, 30 Skyline students to Twin Falls, a 3-hour drive to support their peers on the court, the girls volleyball team. And you watch these kids and the way they were cheering and supporting and rallying one another. And then the after the game was over and Skyline won, and the emotion on the court as these kids ran to the court and hugs, and it was amazing. And that only happens in high school. That's the only place that you get to have that opportunity, and you see the support that these peers have for one another and the love that they have for one another, and to think that we try and remove that and not allow that to happen, it's frightening and it's sad.
So let's talk about COVID for just a moment. It was mentioned, but we have certain voices that predict doom and gloom if we don't force kids to wear masks. A group of doctors wrote a letter trying to pressure District 91 to put masks on, and it was kind of met with, well, thanks for your opinion. We know there are certain board members that would love to force masks on kids. You've stood up for those kids and their parents who don't want their kids masked up. Have we seen this scourge of COVID running through District 91 because the kids aren't wearing masks.
No. In fact, we had a board meeting last night. We met with the local legislators in our area and had a great discussion with them. But as part of that meeting afterwards, I talked to Dr. Shank about the numbers in our district, and they're coming down. They never have been incredibly high. Our schools have remained open 5 days a week, and they're coming down. The numbers are trending in the right direction.
Yeah.
But yet there's still this force out there, this group that sent that letter. Those doctors are part of this group who are wanting mask mandates, and they're still wanting a hybrid schedule. And so that fight is still there. Why? I don't know. I can't answer that question. You think they would look at the data, they would look at the education their kids are getting, the social benefits, the mental benefits that they're getting by being in school, and you would think they would just be grateful that we're able to hold school, but instead they still want to force these mandates on us.
So let's talk about Ken Williams. He's your opponent, and very nice man. I spoke with him on the phone for a couple of minutes yesterday in an effort to get him scheduled to come on this radio show, because I'd love to talk with him about these issues. He's running for that. But what we do know about him, he moved here from California a few months ago. Is that
correct?
Right? He was involved in some capacity with the teachers union where he came from in California.
Correct. My understanding was he was a teachers union representative
when
he was in California.
He filed to run at the very last minute, within hours, right, of the deadline? Is that
right? Yeah, that's my understanding, because as I filed, there was two of us, two board members that were up for election in November. And so we would just check with the elections office every once in a while to say, has anyone filed against us? No one ended up filing against Trustee Wilson, Larry Wilson.
Yeah.
But then at the last day, Mr. Williams decided to file against, not so much against me, but just file for the Zone 2 trustee position, which is my opponent now.
But what you've learned since, because you're on the ground, you're running a campaign, and you know you feel the pressure of the opposition happening. There are phone banks that are being deployed. There's money from the State Education Union, the Idaho Education Association, their PAC, which is PACE. What does that stand for, PACE?
Political Action Committee for Education, okay. I believe.
So that's the IEA. So they've marshaled their resources. So you're not so much running against Ken Williams as you are against the IEA and the local teachers union.
Yeah, I've never run for an office before. I just want to help kids. I was appointed 3 years ago when Dave Lent was elected into the Senate and vacated the seat, and I was appointed. And I just want to be the parents' voice, and I just want to do what's right for these kids. District 91 has a lot of needs, and I'm confident that with my business background in finance and marketing that we can get those needs fulfilled. And so here I am up for election, and I thought this would just be... if I have an opponent, they'll have their position, I'll have my position, and the people will make the decision. And then I start getting texts and pictures of letters that people have received, and I get a phone call saying, I just got off the phone with someone, and I look into it, and you're right. I'm not so much running against Ken Williams as I am running against the teachers union.
Yeah.
I had no idea it was going to require this amount of effort to run for the school board and just to try and help these kids.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned that you've lost 10 pounds, that it's been a lot of stress, but how is it day to day? Are you glad that in 6 days this thing will be over?
I am glad, because it has been busy. It's been incredibly busy day to day as we try and find the best ways to get our position out.
Yeah.
That's really what we want to do. And the most important thing is to get people to the polls. It can take place now if they want to go down to Bonneville County Elections Office across from the DMV, or to get to the polls a week from yesterday, next Tuesday, November 2nd. You know, a lot of people were upset about some of the decisions that were made last year, and they tried to do some things about it, and those attempts failed, the recall efforts and so forth. But now's the time to have your voice heard. Don't be reactionary, but get in front of it, get in front of the curve, and make sure that your voice is heard. And to do that, get to the polls next Tuesday.
So you run into a situation where if you have a lot of outside money and political organization that is already in place, like a union has, they can create an outcome that isn't really reflective of the entire constituency. And that's the thing that you don't want, and why it's so important for people to get out and vote, because you don't want those outside or those exotic influences determining the outcome of the election.
That's exactly right. The district, I firmly believe the district belongs to the citizens that live within the district. They're the patrons putting tax money into the district. It's their district. It's our district. And so I believe it shouldn't be influenced by these organizations, teachers' unions. But today, they are. There's a huge outside influences on our district. And if as patrons, if we don't take control at the voting booth, we're going to lose that voice.
So if I were to go out and ask 100 people, what school board zone do you live in? I would bet you no more than 10% would even know what zone they live in. So maybe describe geographically the area that you cover so people in that area will know that this race is one they need to vote in.
Sure. So my zone two, is basically the majority of the ground on the west side of the Snake River. If you know Templeview Elementary School, it would be excluded, or so the neighborhoods right close to the airport, just south of the airport, would be excluded from Zone 2.
Okay.
But everything else, Village, Old Mill, Pioneer, everything by Westside Elementary, Fox Hollow Elementary, the homes around Eagle Rock Junior High, the homes around Skyline High School, those are all Zone 2.
Yeah. Okay.
So you're running a campaign. That's why you're here.
Yep.
And obviously there's the inflammatory issue of COVID and masks in schools and mandates and things like that. You've obviously got other things that you're working on with the district and with the school board. Give us some ideas of other things that you're pushing forward for kids.
You know, we got to do something about our facilities. I don't know what the long-term answer is for that yet. There's a lot of options, but Idaho Falls High School, an old high school built in the late 40s, Skyline
the,
built.
The 1840s.
The 1840s. I believe you're correct.
Right.
I think Paul Bunyan cut some lumber towards that
with
high school.
With Julie's shirt.
Yeah. I'm wearing a relic.
Yes. Yeah. But in Idaho Falls, or excuse me, Skyline High School built in the late 60s, and nothing's been done to these facilities except for the regular upkeep. But times have changed, and we have our science rooms at Skyline. The teachers have to organize when they turn on the lab equipment, because if you turn on the lab equipment in one classroom, it cuts the breaker in the other classrooms. They just need to be overhauled and upgraded. And so that's something that I'd really like to look at and find a solution to that. One thing I've really learned from last year when we, or 2 years ago, when we shut down, when the state shut down schools for the last 3 months, and then even when District 91 went into the hybrid schedule where their kids were only in school twice a week, 2 days a week, the resources that these kids rely on, counselors, today is different than it was when the three of us were in school. The demands on our kids today are so much greater. The pressures that they're under are so much greater. And we need to give them more resources, more counselors. We need to make more help available to them. And the best place to do that is in school. When they're in the classroom, teachers can recognize some signs, counselors can help them. And that doesn't happen when kids aren't in school. But I'd like to get more resources in that area as well. And I'd like to free up some of our teachers' time. Teaching today is not what it was. My parents were teachers. My mom was second grade. My dad was in high school. And what a teacher does today is a whole lot different than what my parents did as teachers. The demands on our teachers are greater, and we need to find the best of the best to teach and take care of our children and make sure our children's needs are being met.
Paul, last question here. I wanted to ask you, we're seeing interesting things happen with school boards across the country. Masks have been a big issue like they were last year in D91. But there's also issues around sex education. There are issues around critical race theory and the teaching of what I believe is racism to kids. Even the legislature addressed this issue. What is the situation with that in District 91 in terms of, have you heard of teachers trying to teach these things that I believe are harmful?
Yeah, I know some teachers are upset at the legislature. We haven't addressed it as a board with the district just because the legislature took care of it. So our board and our superintendent doesn't feel like it's something that needs to be addressed at the district level because the state addressed it. The sex education, that's another thing that's similar. The sex education that we had when we were in elementary school or junior high where that takes place is a lot different than the sex education that takes place today. And I do believe that's something that parents should opt into instead of opt out of, because it's a lot different today what's being discussed. I I don't know what you can say on the radio, so I'm careful. But there's some things that are being done today that are of great concern to me, and I think parents should be aware of what's being taught before their children are placed in that environment.
Being taught in District 91?
No, not in District 91, but is there pressure to move that direction from some in District 91? Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, a big push. Well, Paul, your Facebook page, web page, how do people find out more about you?
Paul Hackey for D91 Students would be my Facebook page. Okay. People can go there and see what I stand for and what I want to accomplish in the district, and I'd love everyone's support.
And Hackey is spelled H-A-A-H-A-A-C-K-E.
That's correct.
All right. Yeah. H-A-A-C-K-E. I have to say it like that.
Yeah, I say it the same way.
The A's smash into each other. Yeah. Paul, it's always great to see you.
Thank you, Neil. Appreciate it.
And good luck these last 6 days. You'll be 5 pounds lighter by the time we, this
My wife is thrilled. I will say that.
I'll bet. All right. It'll be great. We'll be back. It's 8:54 on the all-new News Talk 107.9.